This week on the podcast, I'm Martin Spriggs.
And I'm Sally Draper.
And we're going to talk about what's in our bag. Sally's come all the way over to Wisconsin from the Northlands of Minnesota just to share what's in her bag. And all kinds of other good listener feedback. We've got our tips and our picks. And don't forget about our free music. All that and more. Stay tuned.
This is Wells Tech, a show that explores the intersection of technology and ministry. Wells Tech is a part of the Streams Media Network sponsored by Wells, the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Your show hosts are Martin Spriggs and Sally Draper. Join the conversation at wellstech.wells.net.
Hello, everybody. This is Martin Spriggs, and right beside me, Sally Draper. A little bit different format today, Sally, for episode 313, October 29th, 2013. You're in Milwaukee.
Yep. Last week, there were two of us in New Ulm. This week, there's two of us that are podcasting here from Milwaukee. What a treat.
Technically Waukesha, I should say.
Okay.
So the viewers of the podcast probably recognize the same background, so we're in the same setting. But Sally and your husband, Kevin, have joined us for a couple days.
That's right. Getting a tour of the new Center for Mission and Ministry building. What a gorgeous office it is, and happy to be here.
Yep.
Get some face-to-face time.
Yep, Kevin's doing some work for us now, so he's joined the team, which is awesome, the technology team, at least in a part-time capacity, so we're really happy about that. And part of a kind of a whirlwind tour for you, and I'm just trying to keep all the balls in the air myself. We've got a lot of things going. I wanted to give a shout-out to Tom Custer, who we've mentioned on the show before and is a listener or viewer of the show. He organized a Christ in Media event this past weekend that I had the pleasure of attending at Wisconsin Lutheran College. And very interesting project, a smartphone, not sure the exact name of it, but basically the idea is get some high school and colleges together, teams from each, pick a country, each one of them would pick a country, and then determine what kind of mobile technology might they build over probably a 7-6 month period that could reach out with the gospel to that location, specifically through mobile technology. So,
you know, I was thinking about that event and how creative that challenge is and how students will be really engaged by that and also participating in real world mission work. So kudos to Tom and his team at Christ in Media Institute for putting together such an event. We're going to join back with them in the spring and see what the results are from all this work that's being done.
He's taken a very methodical approach, which I think is a good one. Working, you know, not by himself, but also with some other professors and, you know, people in education, where they spent the probably a good part of their first session on Friday just talking about cultural differences and how you should think about putting something together. Some of the things that maybe you could focus on depending on the demographic, but also things you need to watch out for and some cultural sensitivity. But because we high-minded Americans don't always think about the things that may not play well, you know, in a maybe even a third world country or even in a first world country that's not our culture. So,
And I think it's going to be a different playbook for each country depending on which the school selected.
Yeah, and we talked a little bit about that, you know, in the conference itself. Mm-hmm. So it'll be interesting as these things come together how the different schools, and there's, I think, four area Lutheran high schools and Wisconsin Lutheran College, Bethany, that are putting together their own projects and how they tackle it. So
maybe some content for the podcast in the future.
Right, absolutely.
We'll
we're looking forward to
incorporate
that.
Incorporate some of that.
So we'll learn more back in April. So.
Very good. You had another event this weekend. You were at Wisconsin Lutheran Teachers Conference.
So yep, had a chance to present a couple sessions. Did one on Inbox Zero, getting your inbox down to nothing.
Popular
topic,
got that.
Yep. They were well attended, and it was a good group that we had there. So shout out to them. And then also a session on Flipped Classroom, not just the whole tamale of Flipped Classrooms, but the technology behind it. So talked a lot about one of your favorite companies, TechSmith.
Love TechSmith.
Jing and Snagit and Camtasia, and said, basically I said it's worth the money. You know, if you're going to flip a classroom, you're going to be spending time in screen capture and, you know, screen recordings, don't go for the free stuff. the Camtasia stuff, at least with an educational discount, is very reasonable.
Right.
So.
It's worth the price, and you get quality out of TechSmith products.
Absolutely.
Very well done.
Yep. Sally, we have a topic of the day, and we tried to figure out one that would be appropriate to us being together.
Face-to-face and, topic, yep.
And that is the topic of travel, and specifically, we as geeks, when we travel, what do we bring along with us?
Right.
So we're going to take some turns at showing people what's in our bag, our techie travel bags, mm-hmm. right?
Yep. And, you know, I was giving it some thought last night, you know, and here I am in the middle of a trip, and it's not just what I brought, but what I probably should have brought and forgot to bring, and what I brought that I ended up not using at all, because maybe sometimes I do a little bit of overpacking, ask my husband, yeah. So, but you want to make sure you have the right gadget with you to fit the need and anticipate all possibilities.
So I got a ton of stuff here. I don't know how much you brought, but I probably do a little bit more traveling than you do, but I think some of the tools that we use are probably pretty similar.
Yeah,
so
a little overlap.
Let me start with the first one, and that's the bag itself.
Oh, very good.
Because I feel that investing in something that you're going to carry around a lot through airports or in and out of hotels or in and out of conferences and workshops like I do is really important. So the bag that I use is one from Brent Haven, and it's specifically made for technology, especially for laptops. And what you're going to want to look for in a bag, and I don't remember the model, we'll probably get that in the show notes, but what you're going to want to look for in a travel bag, especially if you're taking a laptop or electronic equipment, is something with good padding. And that's what this particular bag has. So we've got one whole section in here with probably 3/4 inch padding that's made for almost any size laptop that you can. In fact, you can fit a couple in here. It does a nice job with balance because it puts the laptop toward the part that's on your back.
Mm-hmm.
And then the rest of the stuff can go in the front. And then other pockets include things for files and little pockets for thumb drives and those kinds of things, and keep everything organized. And one thing that I always take with me, not necessarily techie, but comes in handy quite often, down in the bottom here, is I keep an umbrella, fold up umbrella that can go with me wherever I am. And it was good that I took this to Hong Kong the last time I was out there, because it rained about the whole time.
It's like a monsoon, wasn't it?
So this came in real handy.
Well, it keeps your tech dry.
Yeah.
It's important.
Yeah. And this is kind of a nylon. You can get leather, whatever, but this keeps it light and it's weatherproof. And it wasn't inexpensive, but I think this is an area where you want to spend a little bit of money to make sure, especially if you're carrying it a lot, get something that you're going to enjoy mm-hmm. carrying, and something that's not going to weigh you down. So
mm-hmm.
that's my start for my
Very
techie
good.
Bag.
Well, I have to confess that my first thing is a bag as well. Yay! I brought my LowPro bag, which has been a pick of mine before on the podcast, and with a little bit of a different emphasis. This one is actually for traveling with your camera.
Yeah, LowPro is a camera company.
Yeah, although there is a pocket here that fits a tablet really well. My iPad's down inside of that pocket.
Mm-hmm.
So, but basically, just like you described the padding on the back, the padding on this backpack is down here at the bottom, because that's where your camera fits nicely. So I've got my DSLR packed away, and when I'm carrying it, it's secure right behind my back, and no one can get to it easily and unzip it and get lift it off of me or whatever. What I've done with mine is use the top area, which is pretty much the top half of the bag, to carry my purse items in.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't carry a purse anymore when I'm traveling. I find that that's just, it reduces the number of carry-ons I have on an airline, and it's just simpler to have everything in one place, and my brain's on keeping up with this one bag that's really important to me, and it has everything in it that I need. And it's quite roomy in there. There's pockets and things, there's zip pockets and all of that. So this is my go-to bag. It has a side pocket for your water bottle and lots of options there.
Cool.
Yep.
That whole carry-on thing is important. I've done a lot of air traveling recently, and that really helps just to kind of consolidate. Because some airlines are more picky about it than others. In fact, I prefer that they're picky because I just hate it. I have to practice, you know, good evangelical spirit here when I see these ladies or even guys, you know, with just these huge things, and they've got, the lady's got a huge purse and then a backpack and then, you know, a pole behind it. Total violation of the rules, taking up valuable space and just hoping that she's not in my area that I'm going to have trouble putting my bag in.
Right, so. And of course she's very loud if they don't make it all fit for
that's
her.
Right.
So,
that's right.
So, yeah, and for me it's also about speed when you're getting in and out of the airline.
Yep.
Going through the security checkpoints and all of those things. Yep. This makes it easier.
Yep. Second thing in my bag, and Sal, you mentioned it, is a tablet. Comes in real handy for a lot of different things. It's a second screen. Something that I actually use on the plane while I'm traveling, as opposed to the bigger laptop, which is sometimes almost always challenging to open up, and with the cramped space that you have. So tablets that we've talked about, their uses. I actually haven't done any kind of extended traveling with just a tablet, although I probably could make that happen. I'm just not quite ready to cut the cord with the laptop, especially if I'm doing presentations, although I've done presentations with the iPad before. So that's certainly an option. But I like it just for reading, you know, just carry a book along, an audiobook or a regular book, reference material, those kinds of things. And then, of course, I've got my Logitech cover, which allows me to use a regular keyboard with it. Mm-hmm. So that's something that I just slip in the bag as well. Adds a little poundage, but it's worthwhile to, I think, always have in the bag.
And I'm kind of at a crossroads. I did bring my iPad, but I can say on this trip I really haven't used it.
Right.
That's because I got the new iPhone.
Right.
And even though it's tiny compared to the iPad, and my eyes prefer the iPad, I can get to my digital stuff wirelessly through the cell phone, I should say. Whereas the iPad is wireless only, I can't get my cell phone coverage here. So then it becomes my device of choice. If I had to pick just one, I think I very quickly have converted to being an iPhone girl. So, yeah, and all the cabling that goes along with that, you want to make sure you have a car charger if you're going to be in a vehicle or whatever. But the iPhone, and this also, because I was traveling with computers this time, allows me to tether. So I can use that cell coverage in the car as I'm driving down the road and have access to my computers as well.
Sure. So. Okay. Mm-hmm. Speaking of all of our devices, you need a way to charge those, and I've talked about this. I think this has actually been a pick on the show before. This is a, what is the company name here? Outlets to Go. It's called the Outlets to Go 3 USB. So the 3 refers to 3 plugs. So as you can see here, you got 2 plugs on the one side and 1 plug on the back. And one thing about hotels is they make it very, very uncomfortable to try and plug something in.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to kind of pull out the dresser or whatever. So they've got kind of this flat plug that can kind of squeeze into tight areas and then bring out the extension plugs beyond, you know, behind the dresser or whatever. This also has a USB charger so that when you bring your other devices, your phone or whatever, you just bring your shorter cable, plug that into the USB, and you've also got a charger, so you don't need a separate charger. So this comes in real handy to plug in different things. If you're plugging in an iPad, you're plugging in your computer, you're plugging in your phone, you've got it all covered with this. And then this kind of neatly kind of puts itself together so that it's nice and compact in the bag and works really well for that purpose. So.
I'm laughing.
You got one too?
So I brought my extension cord. It comes from Menards for about $3 or whatever. But, you know, I dealt with the same problem trying to get to the plugs in the hotel room. And I really need my device on my nightstand. I use it for my clock and everything else. And so I always have a rather long extension cord. So even if you had that, you could extend it a little bit if you carried one of these as well. I know, I'm so low tech. But It is nice. This time the hotel had a plug on the lamp,
yep,
on
I've
the base of the lamp,
too.
And that's so
and
much more
they work
convenient.
Even.
Yeah, exactly. So, but yeah, plugging in all your different devices to charge them at night, whatever it may be.
Okay. So far you're matching me item for item, Sally. So we didn't even coordinate.
Not
this,
at
right?
all.
Okay. My next item, and I'll just stay on the charging side, is a portable charger. I've talked about this on the show too. This is a Mophie juice pack, and it allows me to charge up my my technology. It's got a couple different connectors. I can pretty much charge up my phone a couple times with this. So this is something that, especially if I'm maybe more out and about and don't have access to electricity or in the car, whatever, or a rental car, this is something that comes in real handy. Sometimes I won't even bother with the, you know, the whole plug-in or find the plug-in hotel room thing. I just use this and then charge it up once I'm back to someplace that I can charge. I've got a huge one of these that'll actually do a whole laptop, but this is the one that I actually carry in the bag. So
my bag's going to be empty soon. But mine's a charging thing, too. For the rental car, I made sure I brought the car plug with the three-prong outlet on it. So this would be like for your computer or whatever, if you want to charge in the car. It has a little fan that comes on and runs at times, but works well.
That's
and
cool.
Worth the investment. We've used it a lot. My boys really like it for their gaming devices.
Keep things going.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm all about power, and I'm running low on my
Are
bag.
You?
Your bag is pretty exhausting.
I
got a
few more. One is a MiFi or Wi-Fi hotspot. So this comes in handy, especially if you are in circumstances where you know you may not have access to the local Wi-Fi. And sometimes I do presentations in schools, and some of the things I'm sometimes talking about are blocked by the Wi-Fi itself. Let's say I need to talk about social networks. I want to get to Facebook, and I'll go to an Erie Lutheran High School, and they've got that blocked. So this is my way around that. And more often times than not, the hotel Wi-Fi is not so swift.
That's just what I was going to say. I could have used that in the hotel last
night. Oh, really?
Yeah, it was really bad.
So this is something that I carry around almost everywhere, just in case I need that internet access.
So I'm going back to my iPhone.
Yeah, you can tether.
I actually
that, right?
did switch to tethering last night in the hotel, even though there was Wi-Fi available. The cell coverage was much better than the Wi-Fi in room 305. So
Okay. Do you have anything else?
No, I have spent my list. I brought my Chromebook. I didn't bring it in to show you, but that was kind of my easy-to-travel, lightweight computer. It's not robust at all, but I can check email and that kind of thing.
I'll just go quickly through the last few items that I have. Of course, you need, if you're doing any kind of presentation, I almost always bring an extender VGA cable, because oftentimes if you're in a presentation room, you're kind of stuck with how they present. And like I was went over at Wisconsin Lutheran High School for the State Teachers Conference, and the second room I was in for the second day, the presentation technology was in the back of the room, but the screen was in the front of the room. I don't know how you teach like that, but that's that way that room was set up. So I was able to string a longer cable and get to the front of the room with this, even though the presentation input to the mounted projector was in the back of the room. So this is a lifesaver for me, and I always take this. But whenever I know I'm going to be presenting, I'll carry this, and this just extends my ability to be a little bit more free in where I'm presenting. Another thing that I always take with me is a USB headset, so if I'm doing a podcast, for instance, or need to have a conference call, I've got good audio. Just a couple more cables. This is just an HDMI cable. My computer supports HDMI, and sometimes that's the best way to connect. A good old Ethernet cable.
There you go.
So sometimes the hotel Wi-Fi is terrible, but you can connect to a wired network or wherever you're located, a wired network. So they may not always have an Ethernet cable available, so I always carry one of those with me.
Excellent.
You always need your dongles, depending on what kind of computer you have. Three last items. One of them is a USB thumb drive. So you never know when you're going to need to back up stuff or share stuff with somebody that that you need to give some stuff to, rather than emailing it, maybe a larger file. Mm-hmm. So you want to have one of these around. A USB hub, So if you've got more devices that you need to plug in, this is a really cheap, you know, $10 item that you can pick up at Best Buy. It just gives you the ability to plug in more than one, depending on how many ports you have on your device.
Yes. Yep.
And then finally, just a portable mouse. So if you're on the road, you want something that you may not want to force yourself into using the, you know, the trackpad. So this is just something that I will carry along. And this is a Microsoft Wedge mouse, and it works with, it's a Bluetooth setup. So
okay.
It'll work with most any computer that has Bluetooth.
So. My wireless mouse purchases seem to disappear. People really like those. My boys are like, oh, I think I could use this mouse, Mom. And so, keep buying them and losing them.
Right. Okay, we should probably move along. We've dwelled enough on what we have in our bags, although it's kind of an interesting exercise to kind of see what you
carry. Definitely. So. I think I maybe should be carrying a little more in mine. So
well, you never know. You always want to be prepared. So I can't tell you how many times I've used some of those, you know, emergency type things in presentations especially. So.
All right.
Don't leave anything to chance with technology. Let's move on to ministry resources, Sally.
Yeah, we actually, I'm sorry, I'm off the map. I was thinking listener review and not ministry resources. We have a ministry resource to share the Jesus movie.
Yeah.
And
that's something that came up in our Christ in Media conference, which I guess it was kind of in the back of my mind. I knew it existed, but for whatever reason, and if you want to share your screen, we can show you what the website looks like. The Jesus movie has been around since the 70s, and it's probably the most watched Christian programming out there. They
wow.
have so many millions of downloads, and it's been translated into, I think it says on there how many languages it's been translated into, just an untold number, and also it's been chopped up into different little segments, so it's a really valuable tool, and I was actually going to, I don't think I've actually watched it, but the people at the conference, at the Christ in Media conference, were really saying that this is something that could be very useful in any kind of outreach because you can pull different segments. It's all available on the internet. We've got links in the show notes about how to grab it. But it's just something that you may want to check out for maybe a Bible class series or to share with your congregation or your catechism class or make it your own in some way, shape, or form. So there's a lot of resources around it because it's been around a long time as well. So
perhaps you just want to post it on your Facebook page or snips.
Were you familiar with it?
I think we've talked about it way in the past on the podcast. That's when I learned about it. Probably the last time we were at a Christ in Media
That's right.
Institute event, and they reminded us of it.
Exactly.
So, good stuff.
Okay, let's move on to listener reviews. We have one this week.
We do. And if I can share my screen, I'll just do a shout out. Give the fellow's name in front of you.
Theodore Kufall.
Yeah.
From Onalaska, Wisconsin.
Shared with us a blog post he wrote called App.net, the social platform you never knew you wanted. We headed over to App.net to check it out. Maybe, Martin, you want to tell us a little bit more about what
Theodore shared. Yeah, App.net is an interesting concept, and it's hard to describe. It's almost better to go there and click on the Learn More link. But App.net is an application network. So it's kind of like a social network built around apps. So what developers will do is they'll build kind of social networking apps, put them on app.net, and anybody who's on app.net can use any of them. So it's kind of its own little community unto itself. It's just getting started. It's only been around for a couple years. But some of the apps that are on there are very intriguing, and they're kind of like Facebook substitutes, and they have advantages because they're all built on the same platform, so they can all interoperate. So it's very social oriented. So when you have the ability to go on there, it's free to join. You can check it out and see. Really, the value only comes with if you have other people there that you know that are also using it.
Okay.
But there's hundreds of apps that have been built, and it's kind of a competitor to the Google Play Store or the iTunes App Store.
Okay.
So it's an open source kind of approach to app development, sharing, and the whole social side of it. So,
can you see congregations making use of it? Maybe as
there
a
might
church?
Be application here, and I think that's what Theodore was saying, that there is an opportunity for
for
us to think about exactly where there's some
church.
Control over it, and you can kind of custom build things, and the platform is easier to use than, let's say, building an app that has to work on Android and iPad or iPhone or whatever.
I was wondering, probably mobile friendly. Here and then can access it from any device.
Yeah,
so
you can download it on your smartphone or smart tablet.
Excellent.
So thank you for sharing that, Theodore. And as a result, you'll be entered to win listener reviews. What were we giving away for that? Was that the Nexus 7?
It was.
Yep, we're giving away a Nexus 7 in May for anybody who submits a listener review. And we'll post what Theodore wrote on the show notes page.
Excellent.
Okay.
Very good.
Tip of the week, and that's me. So let me see if I can operate the technology here, and because we're working with a little bit different setup, so I want to go here.
You get a challenge today.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm going to go here and see our little mind map there. Now, if I can find my mouse, there it is. My tip. You still on the air? Yeah. Let me see if I can.
Got a little message there to deal with. Excellent.
There we go. Personalize your PC. A lot of you have upgraded to Windows 8, and Windows 8.1 just came out.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that came with some special things that make Windows 8 maybe a little bit more usable. There were a lot of complaints that, well, you took away my start button. I'm confused by this whole start screen now, and Windows 8.1 allows you to change a lot of that, and I've enclosed a link in the show notes as my tip of the week where you can change those things that were somewhat jarring, per se, when you went to 8.1. And things like customizing the start screen, how do you change the background, how do you make the start button up here. How do you maybe boot into the desktop version versus the RT version, the tile version? Lots of things like that. So there's all kinds of tips. And Microsoft, I think, has recognized that, hey, this has been a challenge. So they put together some very nice tools that will help and walk you through it, and then links to other support topics that are common FAQ type questions. So this is just a great resource if you're just getting into the Windows 8 world and are kind of lost. Where does SkyDrive fit in? That kind of stuff. How to customize your lock screen. Those kinds of things are all here. Changing your account pictures. Things that you probably knew how to do real easily in Windows 7, but it's totally different in Windows 8. So this is just one of those little tips that you want to, tip screens that you want to bookmark, at least at the beginning of your Windows 8 experience.
That's excellent, Martin. I think as techies, which I know a lot of the people that are listening to the podcast fall into that category, people look to you to know this kind of stuff. So not just for you personally, but tucking this away in your tool belt, maybe sharing it on your Google Plus page or your Twitter account, your Facebook page, so that others can learn this as well. I think that's what I'll be doing with that link you shared. I don't have Windows 8 yet, but I know people have stopped me in the hall and asked me questions about it, so good resource to share.
It's coming, so
for sure.
What's your tip, Sal?
I am going to share my screen and give you a little Digo tip. We use Digo here on Wells Tech to share links easily. Kind of become my brain. So if I'm on a website and I think it's pretty cool, I'll tag it in Digo and I can come back to my Digo library and find it.
Used Digo a lot this past weekend with Teachers Conference.
Yeah, you can share lists of links and things really easily. It's a wonderful resource. And what I found recently was a blog post from Digo that says that you can email in your links as well. So you don't have to be within your browser. If you have a good link and you want to email it to a kind of a secret email address that's connected with your account, it will add as a new link on your Digo list. It'll add it automatically as private. So you can go back and change it to more public if you want. And I'll just show you the blog post that I'm going to link to in the show notes has a link that says go ahead and get started now. When you click that, then it shows you your private email address. So they don't publish that real easily, you know. But I did take a screen capture.
So if somebody knows it, they could actually send it to you. So there's no like sometimes I forget what apps do that now, but Wrike, which is our task management app, mm-hmm. forces you to kind of register. I mean, it's not Wrike, but there's sometimes a registration of the computer that it knows that it's coming from this email address. Mm-hmm. Like Evernote does that, mm-hmm. saying you can only send it, or TripIt, you know, things like that will say, I only will accept it from this email address.
Not that fancy with this one.
But this is really handy, though, like Evernote, where you can send it right in and it automatically grabs it.
Absolutely. So, like I said, when you click that link, you'll get a screen that looks similar to what you see a screen capture of here. It'll have those instructions. It'll give you your personal email address at post.digo.com, and then you can put in a subject line with your title of your bookmark, and then pound signs for different tags you want to add to your bookmark, and then whatever content, if the first line is the URL, it'll be saved as the bookmark, and the rest of the email content will be saved as a description. If it's not a URL, instead of a bookmark, it'll make it a note on Digo, mm-hmm. which is something else you can save on Digo. So pretty straightforward if you get into that naming convention, save that email address as a favorite in your address book. You can just start typing an email to Digo, and away you go.
Cool.
Yeah.
Digo just is an awesome tool. I could not really function without it at this point. So
definitely.
Cool. All right. That is our tips of the week. Let's move on to our picks of the week. And I'll leave the screen over to you, yet.
All right. And you'll find this pick actually tagged out on Pinterest, because this is a great Pinterest tag. It's called the HTML Cheat Sheet for Bloggers. And I think it's written probably from a female blogger perspective. It's got a little style to it. So this is for you ladies in particular. But one thing that's challenging when you're learning HTML code is that it's not real easy to just copy some code from somewhere else. If I were to put code on my web page, it would basically interpret that code and display it. So what they've done here on this page is they have these little interactive windows that actually do display the code, and if you want to make use of it, then you can just copy from the window the code and paste it into your own blog in the HTML source code screen. And so they cover a lot of different things, things like alignment and line breaks and horizontal lines and font sizes and colors and things. And then they get into things like superscript and subscript, all different types of formatting. And then finally, further down the page, they'll show you how to insert things like copyright and registered trademark and heart symbols. Isn't that lovely? You can insert heart symbols, and you can highlight text. They've got a pretty exhaustive list here. So if you're new to blogging and are wishing that your blog had a little bit more style to it, perhaps these code snippets will help you.
Yeah, and depending on your blog, you may not have these kind of WYSIWYG tools that are available to you either, so this is a good thing to have in your back pocket. Or it's not always a bad idea to know a little bit of HTML, especially when you're, you know, fighting with the tool, and maybe you're wondering, well, I can't get this thing unbolded or whatever.
Right.
So taking a look at these kinds of codes would help you out and help you interpret maybe what's going on within your blog just by looking at the simple HTML stuff.
Absolutely. So, enjoy the blog style sheet.
Very good. All right, I'm going to share my screen for my pick, and let's take this. My pick is a mobile application for iOS and for Android. Works on iPhone, iPad, and Android. It's called Pocket Casts. And I look back over the time we've been doing the show, and I thought for sure that I had reference this, but I hadn't, so now is the time. Pocket Cast is something I've been using for a long time. It's on version 4, so it's been around for quite some time. Basically, it's a podcast catcher podcast and video cast, however we refer to those these days. So you basically go in to, you install Pocket Cast. It's not free, but it's not very expensive. I think it's under $5 in either store. I'd have to look it up. Or maybe it's a little bit more, not sure, but it's worth it because some of the tools, built-in tools that are available for this are just not very good. Even the new iPhone's podcast tool is not near as nice as this. So you can subscribe to different podcasts, whether they're audio or video. You can actually tell it when you want them to, when you want the app to check for them. Only check on Wi-Fi, so you're saving, you know, your bandwidth costs or your 3G costs or 4G costs. It gives you a nice little display, so it displays the picture, and then whenever a new one is up, it will identify that there's a new podcast available for you to listen. It will also, if you don't download it, there would be a stream button. So if for some reason you didn't download it, or you were in between, you know, the times where it was catching up on all the podcasts that you had subscribed to, you can actually stream it. And it allows you to tell it how many podcasts that you should keep. So just keep the latest episode or keep the last three, and you can tell it to delete it once you're done listening to it or watching it to save space on your device. One of the best designed podcatcher apps that I've seen, and well worth the cost of using it. Just kind of keeps everything organized. And I do a lot of podcast listening or watching, mostly technology related, but certainly you could subscribe to this podcast, of course.
Absolutely.
But you could subscribe to Daily Devotion or any of those types of things as well through this and have them kind of all in one place. So that's Pocket Cast by Shifty Jelly. It's the name of the company. Mm-hmm. So.
Sounds like a good one. I'll have to get it for my trip home.
Yep.
Find some new podcast. Maybe you can give us some recommendations someday about what tech podcast you listen to. I don't think
we've never talked about that. Yeah. So
many topics.
Yeah.
Huh?
Absolutely. All right. So let me find my place in here. We are going to our community feedback. Let's do that.
We have a good amount of community feedback to share. We're going to start with an email we got from Teacher Todd Hackbarth. He's at Lakeside Lutheran High School. Martin, we've talked about Lakeside's video efforts in the past.
Yep.
They've done some really cool projects. And this year they didn't want to disappoint us. They came up with something awesome last week as well. Todd wrote to us with a little bit of the backstory. Apparently a father of one of the students has to check power lines, and he does that via helicopter. So he told Todd he was going to be flying over the school in the next week or so because of his job, and if they wanted to do something special, he'd be willing to film it from the helicopter. So basically they put together an event out on their football field, and it involved all the students and faculty. Their theme for the year is focus, and it's based on Matthew 6:33, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. And their display, it was kind of a choreographed thing, almost like a marching band would do out on the football field, ultimately came together in a cross, which is really cool. Mm-hmm. They had on different color t-shirts, and it was all coordinated. And at the end, they spelled out Lakeside Lutheran. Let's see if I can share my screen. We'll definitely have the video in our show notes, so you'll want to come and watch Lakeside's video. I checked it out earlier. And let's see, they have 4,963 viewers already in less than a week. So you can make them over that 5,000 mark, which I'm sure is a big goal of theirs. They made it on the news in Madison, so there's a little bit of a screenshot from the video with at the end they spelled out the initials for Lakeside Lutheran High School. So that made it on the TV news there in the Madison area. And we're really excited for you and all the fun things that you're doing there at Lakeside with video. Congrats.
Very nice. Yep. Mm-hmm. Thanks for sharing, Todd.
Yep. A couple of links. I want to say these were from Tom Rosenau, and he actually shared them via Google Plus. So thanks, Tom. I'm sorry I missed him for a couple of weeks, so there's several that he shared. One is called The $1 Million Expense, Buying Out the App Store, and what it would cost to buy out the iTunes App Store and how many apps are there. Interesting article, but what's interesting is actually the the value of the apps by category. So it looks at different categories like medical apps versus business apps versus games and lifestyle and education, and you know, the volume of sales mm-hmm. that are going on there. And obviously education is number one, followed by gaming, but then some of the more expensive apps actually fall in the business and medical categories. So just kind of an interesting look at what it would take to buy out the app store. I think that's over $1 billion there that's spent. Interesting. Tom tagged an infographic, and I did add this to our Pinterest account. So if you're following the WellsTech Pinterest account, you saw this infographic over there. It's really a comedy, fun infographic. It says, by the year 2019, all information will be communicated, in this clear and concise format. So it's an infographic making fun of infographics. So thought that was pretty creative.
Cool.
A couple more from Tom Rosenau. He's principal out at St. John's in Pigeon, Michigan. Not sure if I mentioned that. This, too, has to do with Windows 8.1. And apparently in Windows 8.1, Google Chrome got a little blurry. I don't know if you experienced that, Martin.
Mm-hmm.
But this is a fix if your Google Chrome is experiencing some blurriness on your screen. And Tom said he used it. He doesn't have a touch screen, but it worked well and solved the problem for him. So good fix.
Thanks, Tom.
And then one more from Tom. Google tries to bring business data down to earth with Google Maps Engine Pro. So this is something they've integrated with Google Apps now, and it's basically like Batch Geo that we've talked about and has been around for quite a while, where you can upload a spreadsheet of addresses, and now Google Maps will map those addresses for you. So this is really breaking news for Google, but we've been talking about this for quite a while. So Google kind of stole Batch Geo's idea there, but good stuff to have available in Google Maps.
Cool.
A few more links. These were from Digo. Ryan Rosenthal, a teacher at Faith in Fond du Lac, Wisconsin, shared a website dedicated to water erosion. So if you're studying that in science class, perhaps you want to check out this ThinkQuest website. Projects by students for students, and there's lots of information about water erosion there. Shared by Jason Schmidt, digital citizenship and social media for parents and students. So this is a website that a school district in Nebraska, near where Jason is, has put together about digital citizenship. And I know Jason's responsibilities in his school district go into this quite a bit, so he's often sharing good resources there. So if you're looking for some resources, there's parent resources and other things available on this site. Maybe you want to pattern your own digital citizenship site after this. And then I had a few links to share via Digo. The first is to World Book Night, which is in its third year, I believe, coming up in April of 2014.
Sure.
This is an initiative where you can sign up now, and in April you'll be notified and you'll get to pick up 20 books that you can then give away. I want to say 20. It might be 10 or 20 books. And they're available to you for free, and the caveat is that you give them to light readers or non-readers to encourage reading throughout the world. The reason
you talked about this last year.
Yeah, I got 10 books last year, really nice poetry books that I was mm-hmm. able to give away in school. You do have to tell them a little bit about what your goal is as far as giving these away.
Sure.
That's part of the application process. But the application just opened up. If you go to the website and do Be a Book Giver, there's the application and guidelines available there. And you want to get in early because they have you pick 3 book choices, and they have quite a few to select from. And then, you know, you're hopefully going to get one of those 3 choices if you do get selected to be part of the program. The sooner you get the application in, the more likely you are to get your first choice. And this year, the book selections, should click here, include Malcolm Gladwell's, one of his books, and I'm not sure why it didn't come up. I thought I clicked on the right thing. The 2014 books. Let me try one more time.
Yeah, he just came out with a new one. I just downloaded it on audiobooks.
Mm-hmm. This is The Tipping Point. This is the one that I read. It's not real new, but it is available as one of the selections. Also, there's several that are geared towards student age, like Hoot and others. I think there's a Ranger's Apprentice, which is real popular with boy readers and middle school age. There's a Garrison Keillor book, so there's a wide variety of book selections.
That's awesome.
Yeah, Bridge to Terabithia, I know, is real popular at a middle school level as well. So if you're a teacher, why not try? You may get, I should have read up. I can't remember if it was 10 or 20 books that you have to give away for free.
And have you done this more than once? I just did it last year.
But it's gone on for two previous years, so I missed the first year. Got in on it last year. You kind of select which bookstore you want to pick up. They're all over the country, so
sure.
Yeah. Then you just go and pick up. They hand you a nice box full of books to give away. It's an excellent program.
Cool.
All right, a couple more from me. One I read about yesterday is called onetimebox.org. This is like a temporary Dropbox kind of thing. So there's no account creation. It goes away after a week. You have up to a gig, so you can add many files, and then share the link, and it will go away after 1 week, onetimebox.org. And then finally, a link to Computer Science Education Week coming up December 9th through 15th. And their mantra or goal this year is an hour of code for every student. So the idea is they're going to provide some tutorials and things, even for people that don't have computers, where you can begin to understand the concepts behind computer programming, computer science. They think it's a tool and a skill set that everyone needs to be prepared for in this day and age. And they're just encouraging it this week of December 9th through 15th. If you go to the Join Us link on the website, you can see that you can sign up for your school, for your organization to participate, or even to promote it in your community, or you can sign up personally to participate, and they'll alert you to the tutorials that are available. There's videos and other information available on the website, so check it out.
Very cool. If you would like to contribute to the show with listener or community feedback, we would really encourage you to do that. A number of ways to do that. If you go to wellstech.wells.net, that is probably the best approach to take. Email wellstech@wells.net is our email address, but if you go to the website, you'll see all the things that we've talked about, plus all the links at the top right to contribute. You can throw a pin on Pinterest.
Of course.
You can make a comment on Facebook, Twitter. What else is out there?
I think you could even add a link on Digo.
That's right.
It's a happening place.
That'd be perfect.
Google Plus. We're all over the place.
Please do that. We'd love to have your feedback. So, all right. Let's talk about next week.
Next week, I'm going to be away from you, Martin. We'll be back to our normal routine. Might be a little easier to manage. This is a challenge to be face-to-face. We're having a guest host next week. That will be Jason Schmidt joining us from Nebraska. And we're going to talk about smart board alternatives. So perhaps you haven't jumped on the smart board bandwagon. You have maybe some nice whiteboards already available in your school or place of work. Church meeting room, whatever it may be, there are alternatives that can make use of your traditional whiteboard for the same kind of technology, that touchscreen capabilities. And so we'll be talking about that next week.
Very good. The Wells Featured Artist. Those of you that have been recent listeners to the podcast know that we've changed things up a little bit. And rather than playing a song, which was getting us into some challenging things with YouTube saying, well, we didn't own the copyrights even though we had permission and we're totally legal, we just said, let's do something even better. Let's give away some music. And that's what we're doing. Each week we give away for a week's time between now and the next time we podcast. We will have a link available to a Wells artist that you can download the music and keep for your very own. Put it in your own iTunes collection or Google Music collection, whatever. And this week, is this right? Chris Dreisbach and Stephen Bautista did a duet?
They did. You'll have to listen to it, Martin. It's called Just a Nobody. We're excited to add Chris to our rotation of artists that we'll be featuring, and thanks to Chris and Stephen for allowing us to share their music in this way.
Wonderful. Just a Nobody. So check the show notes page for that link for the next week to download that song.
Absolutely.
Sally, thanks for being here. Yeah. You came all the way over, not just for the podcast, but it turned out nicely that we were able to do that.
What a treat, yeah.
So, and thank all of you for joining us as well. Tune in next week.